There we go.
All right, we are live on Mixlr. Welcome, world. Welcome, everybody. We are here for the what I like to call the pregame show of our favorite show, Outlander. And my love, are you ready to start this episode of this Oscar-winning episode of OutlanderCast?
Yes, I truly am.
All right, let's do it.
All the way from Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to OutlanderCast. It's a podcast dedicated to the show Outlander on Stars. Sing me a song of a lass that is gone. Say could that lass be I? Mary of soul. Hello, everyone. I'm your host, Mary Larson.
My name's Blake, and I'm totally freaking geeking out, baby.
Yes.
I am geeking out. We are here. We are live. It is Outlander premiere day.
The day has come.
I got the snare drums going. Bear McCreary's here, baby. Woo! I'm ready to go. Let's do it.
Well, we wanted to welcome all of you to the first ever clan gathering of all of the Outlander cast outlets joining us from the Outlander cast blog. All right, we've got a great roundup for you. We have Kendra.
Kendra is the editor-in-chief of our Outlander cast blog, and she plays an extraordinarily important role in everything that you read. Outlander cast blog. My love, continue.
We also have Holly joining us.
Hello, everyone. Can you hear me?
Very, very well, Holly. And we also have Denise. So these are three writers on the Outlander cast blog, and
That's right. You are going
to get to know them very, very well. If you have not already, you're going to want to check out the Outlander cast blog as soon as you are done watching the premiere and listening to our wrap-up show, of course.
That's right. Just go to outlandercast.com, which you probably already are at, and hit the blog button, and the Outlander cast blog will show up, and you will be able to read everything that these wonderful writers are writing at the same time. And speaking of the Outlander cast blog, I want to remind you that I want you to stay on the Outlander cast blog during the episode that is happening tonight at 9 p.m. because one of our other favorite writers, as Mary drinks wine, one of our other favorite writers, Ashley, will be live blogging the episode in every single episode of Outlander during the season, and it will be happening on the Outlander cast blog. It is a two-screen experience, so not only do you get to watch Outlander, you get to read Ashley's wonderful, witty comments, and I'm sure all of the writers here will agree that Ashley kind of freaking rules. Is that right?
Yes.
That's right. That's right. And speaking of Ashley, be sure to come right back to here right now, Mixlr or Periscope or wherever you are listening to this Oscar-winning show of Outlander cast. And come back here right after the premiere at 10:15 sharp for our instant take episode. That's right. You will get every single opinion and thought and even every nuanced idea that we have about the premiere right after it airs. It will be live. It will feature Kendra, who is also with us right now, Ashley, who will be the live blogger, and Anne, who plays a huge role in our blog as well.
So if you have any questions for our writers, remember that you can ask them here on Periscope, on the Mixlr forum, or you can call in live to the show on this thing called Blab. So if you want to have your voice actually heard, you're going to need to get on Blab. And to do this, refer to the Outlander cast blog post about this, about the live cast, about how to sign in to Blab. Once you're signed up and you've joined the chat room, you can just have your question prepared and wait for Blake to call on you. So once again, if you want to have your question read on air, you can be writing it in Periscope, writing it in the Mixlr form, or your voice can be heard if you use Blab. So to check that out, just head on over to the Outlander cast blog and click on the live cast so you can sign into Blab ASAP.
That's right. Well, my love, what do you think? Are you ready for season two?
I am. I'm ready. I'm pumped, and I think our writers are pumped, right, guys?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. I'm so excited.
So have I, and I hope not. I don't think that anybody, any of you have watched Outlander quite yet. Have you? The season one premiere? No. Season two?
I've heard things. I've heard good things.
Yes, I think so, too. I'm quite excited as well. Because as you guys all know, I am a huge Team Frank guy. I mean, Team Frank is where it's at. I mean, let's just be honest about it, right? No? No, you don't think so? Come on now. It's okay. You know, listen, since Tobias Menzies is kind of awesome, and, like, it's funny. I've always said this before. I've always felt like he was kind of like a dink in every other show he's ever been in. Have you guys had this experience with Tobias Menzies? Kendra, what do you think? Yep. Holly, what do you think?
Wow. I love Tobias as an actor. I mean, he's amazing.
Yep.
He is, simply amazing. His acting as Blackjack, it, to me, is, you know, there's no words. It's so good. Frank, I mean, he's a great actor as Frank. It's just, I just can't get it.
Come on.
See, I actually am kind of firmly entrenched between Jamie and Frank, because one of my issues with the character in general of Frank in Outlander is that Diana kind of wrote him almost as a cipher. So there isn't a lot of weight to him. When you look at it from a humanistic standpoint, the reality of the...
Hello? Kendra, did you disappear on us?
He did nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you know what? I speak for all the married men in this world. You know what? I have to speak for the married men, because you know what?
Is it simply enough, though, to just do nothing wrong? Or I just don't see him doing anything right.
Well, the thing is, here's...
What is it? What
the problem? The issue is that he actually does do everything right. I'm not gonna spoil Blake, but in my opinion, he really doesn't do anything wrong, other than some mistakes that even my husband has made. So, you know, men aren't perfect, women aren't either, you know, but if you look at the fact that Claire actually has the choice to go back, she's presented with the opportunity, and she chooses, whether right or wrong, and you could acknowledge that they were not suited for each other, and I will acknowledge that, they were not, mm-hmm. but she chooses to stay, and that is a betrayal of Frank. Mm-hmm. He doesn't betray her, she betrays him. So the massive backlash against Frank, I simply don't understand. I can understand how you can think that he is not right for Claire, which he isn't, but you can't think that he is a bad man.
Right, right. I think I would agree with you. I think, listen, men are not perfect, except for me, okay? Let's just be all honest about that. I can't help that fact. It's hard. Heavy lies the crown. And, you know, I think that Frank tries his best to be like me, unwittingly even. I mean, my love, would you tend to agree with that?
I don't even know what you just said, because I was looking at Periscope. I'm being 100% honest. I'm
so,
usually,
you know,
good at multitasking.
Here we go. Just do me a favor and just say yes.
Yes.
Okay, yes. All right. It's recorded. The world has seen that. My wife has agreed with me, okay? Just so we're all clear on that. You guys heard that, right?
Yep. Yeah.
All right, my love, are you actually ready to get into this episode? You ready to do it?
Yes, I am.
All right, let's do it.
This episode of Outlander Cast is brought to you by Stone by Allison Etsy Shop. Stone by Allison is the place to go for necklaces, bracelets, and bookmarks for geeks, nerds, and everyone else like me.
Yeah.
Pair your favorite Outlander book with Dinafash Sassanach bookmark, or show your love for your own favorite fandom with a custom-made piece just for you. All pieces are handmade by Allison and include fine art necklaces, jewelry with quotes from Doctor Who, Harry Potter,
Hold on.
You're a wizard, Harry.
There we go.
Game of Thrones, among many others. Enter the coupon code OUTLANDERCAST to receive 10% off your next order. Visit stonebyallison.etsy.com now to find your new favorite accessories. Well, all right, let's get into this show. We have lots of discussion points that we want to talk about, but first and foremost, I want to talk about the season two marketing, you know, kind of what we've had with this buildup. And the first thing is casting announcements. Now, just as a little warning for those of you joining us on Mixlr or Blab or Periscope, we're going to be spoiler free, but we can still mention who people's names. So if that works for you, anyone want to jump in and talk about the casting?
I thought it was super interesting how long we had to wait to get these casting announcements. I mean, it was probably mere days before the actor started filming. Mm-hmm. But of course, you know, I am no expert in that kind of time frame. You know, how soon are the actors cast? So I just, that was one of the things that I was baffled that we got that announcement so late in the game for both Roger and Brianna.
Well, Katrina wasn't cast until 2 weeks before she started filming, wasn't she?
Oh, really? See, I was really late in the game. I didn't get caught up on the actual show until right before Both Sides Now. So most of the marketing for the first season, the initial marketing, I totally missed. Mm. So
they said that what she was cast and she had like 3 days to read the book and then she was off to Scotland. So
wow.
She only had and then when she got there, she was in costume and rehearsals and started shooting. That was it. So.
Well, I mean, my theory for the casting is that, you know, in terms of Rick and Sophie being cast at the end, that's because that's not going to be shown to us until the end. So they didn't need to.
They've been casted that long.
Pardon?
Do you think maybe they knew who it was ahead of time?
No, I really don't. I think that it was announced the minute they had them signed on a contract.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my best guess. But I think that it's because the era of the books and that we're going to be talking about, well, not really talking about, I guess, Blake, is that they didn't need them.
Let's talk about hashtag peak at Paris. This was a lot of great things because we could talk about it on social media. I love anything with a good hashtag. What did you guys think? Was the peak at Paris enough? Was the peak at Paris timely?
You mean the cutlery?
Oh, God.
Start with the cutlery. I mean, that was our introduction, was it not, to Paris?
Yeah.
I was, that's underperforming. I don't know.
I was not blown away by the silverware. And I was really, that's a good word, underwhelmed. I was very underwhelmed by Peak at Paris because what is going to be amazing about this season coming up is the intrigue and table settings and beautifully prepared food don't exactly spell out intrigue. And, you know, I thought if they were going to bring in people who had no inkling of what the show is about or no inkling of the books, that's not going to do it. What they were kind of preaching to the choir.
Yep. And here's the problem with the things that were like the silverware and all that other crap, it did nothing to serve the story. It did nothing to to world build. I mean, like, Kendra, I know we had talked about that in on the Outlander cast blog. Like, what does it take to world build? And do you think that did what it was supposed to do?
I don't think so. I mean, we knew that it was going to be beautiful, and we knew that the sets were going to be stunning. We know that it's going to be in Paris, and Paris is different, very different in that era from Scotland. I think maybe they could have played up, you know, Jacobite history or incorporated something that would give you an inkling of plot rather than set dressings. And you know, at one point it was a picture of a vase with roses in it. That could have been in any Four Seasons hotel in the world. Right. It didn't have to be 18th century Paris.
Yeah. Holly, I hear you laughing over there. What are you laughing about?
You know, I agree. It was underwhelming. You know, it wasn't until they started sending out pictures of the costumes that everybody started to realize what this was about. But in terms of, you know, I could see why they weren't sharing much of the Jacobite issue, only because that might confuse people into thinking it's about Scotland. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was definitely nothing attracted me to the show at that point in time. I wasn't feeling like I was, you know, enraptured with the type of marketing that was happening at the time.
Right.
It really wasn't until you started seeing the outfits that I bought on.
Yep. Yeah. Might I play devil's advocate for a minute?
Yes, please, Denise.
Sure.
Do so.
So, in any other show, how early do they start throwing out bits and pieces for the audience? I mean, we didn't even have a premiere date, which we can discuss that for days, but we didn't even have a premiere date. And, I mean, how early did they start putting things out for other shows? Were they really late in coming to it, or was it just the content that they were sending out that you didn't like?
I think it was the content, because one of the things that really struck me, and this is why I wrote the Silver Spoons piece, was that we had kind of this trifecta of the three PR campaigns kind of dovetailing in the same week. And we had the Game of Thrones teaser shot, which was huge. Outlander was giving us, Starz was giving us, you know, image after image after image. All of it meant nothing. Game of Thrones gave us one shot, and it meant everything. People lost their minds. And then we had the train car fiasco with the Man in the High Castle, which turned out to be brilliant PR-wise. So it was just getting that glimpse of the three campaigns kind of side by side, and it was very easy to compare and contrast how effective they were. Mm-hmm. And I think my major disappointment was not that we weren't getting stuff early. I think it was what they decided to show us was pointless.
Yep.
I'd rather have nothing than be tossed table scraps.
You didn't like the cutlery, huh?
I did not like. I was scrolling down Twitter and I was like, are you kidding?
Yes. I mean, I've seen some of the set designs since, and like, they could have shown us any of that stuff, especially the things that were in Architectural Digest this week.
Oh my gosh.
That would have been stunning. I would have fallen for that in a second.
Right. Right. That it's ridiculous. My love, what do you think?
I want to focus on the here and now, because I think Peak at Paris, I don't even understand why you would do a cutlery. I just don't get it. Mm-hmm. This is not even a show about food. I mean, I know that we've seen some food, but it's like when the cat's about to munch on it.
Right.
So I'm all set with cutlery. But
I was actually happier with the dogs and the fireplace.
I loved that.
Yes, the Yule log. Right. I loved that.
That was a great opportunity for them, and it was smart. Mm-hmm. And like, you could see that they had improvement. Like, somehow, some way, somebody got into the star's office and was like, all right, children, the adult is at the table now. Let's have a conversation. And like they started doing things like the Saks Fifth Avenue and all that other stuff. Like,
Now
that is original. Now, we talked about the Amazon and the subway car. And yeah, while it was cute and it was nice and I had fun with it, it wasn't very original. It was just like what was brilliant about The Man in the High Castle. And for anybody who hasn't seen this show yet, it's about, you know, a past, really, where the Nazis and the Japanese have won World War II and they're occupying the United States. And what was brilliant about what Amazon did was that they put one side of the subway car of Japanese and one side of the Nazis. And you had to choose where you were going to sit. Outlander had nothing like that. And it wasn't as effective.
Okay, you know
it was just a pretty train car.
It was very pretty. It was pretty. I liked the pictures. What I have really enjoyed has been the recent TV circuit and all these live interviews and kind of the Facebook Live stuff. So, Denise, have you been able to watch any of the television interviews at all?
I've been trying to keep up with them this week, actually, which is odd because usually we have nothing. So it's been great to try to keep up with some stuff. I saw Katrina on the Today Show, and she was adorable on there. Did you guys see that?
I didn't get a chance to see that. How about anybody else?
Kendra?
I did, yes. Yeah.
She was adorable. Her dress was amazing. And then it was too short, though. I thought they could have done a little bit longer, to be honest. I got to see Sam on Kelly and Michael.
That was brilliant.
Did you see this? They did a behind the scenes. I guess a fan asked Kelly when they were on a break to step out of the way so she could get a picture of Sam. So did you see that?
Yes, that was hilarious.
Like, trying to frame him and lay in front of him so nobody could see him and take pictures. So there have been several online. I mean, pretty much they've been all over the place. I don't know how they're even standing still. Although Sam seemed to be standing pretty well today as he was walking through the parade in his leather jacket and his kilt, might I add.
Well, I did see the Instagram pictures of whiskey drinking prior to, so yeah. maybe that's the reason.
That's a cute, sexy probably man in a wet leather jacket and a hiked up kilt. Oh my word.
I'll tell you this.
Well, remember, though, nobody knows. We've been bashing him in his uniform for about a week or so. All he's been wearing is his leather jacket and his jeans. So we could take it today.
Between all the television appearances and these different interviews that they have been live streaming, it's really helped propel Outlander to trend online, whether it's Facebook. I know for me, it's always been constantly, you know, one or two or even three in the trending spot on my Facebook, or whether it's also on Twitter or wherever else. So I'm really excited to see how things go tonight, because this whole week, I feel like between all the different television interviews and everything else, it's really propelled. So in my opinion, this latter part of their PR campaign has been successful. How would you kind of rate it, Kendra, overall their PR campaign?
The tail end of it has been spectacular, and I've loved it. The Entertainment Weekly cover, fantastic. The TV Guide cover and all those images that they released of Katrina being absolutely adorable, that I would give a 10. But the first half, it almost was like they were learning to drive for the first time. So that I'm going to give like a 3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like an apprentice to the assistant to devise that marketing strategy at the beginning.
Oh, man.
What was your kilt rating? The final kilt rating, probably overall, if we average the two, I'd probably give it a 6.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good idea.
And how about you, Denise, if you had to give it a kilt rating out of 10?
To me?
Yep, Denise. Yeah. Denise, what do you think? What's the kilt rating you would give?
Out of the PR for this.
You know what? I'm an amateur when it comes to all that kind of stuff, so I'll take anything you give me. So I would probably give it maybe a 7 or 8.
And this is why Denise is so important, because she speaks for most. She's not like a nerd like me. You know, like she's not like super picky, and she's not super like super losery, you know, like me. So it's important that we get the people who are actually watching the show and who are actually normal to give an opinion. And like who other than me, like me, like I'm a total picky nerd, and I will totally go after stars at any time. And it's good to hear someone who just appreciates what they do. I think that's an awesome job.
All right. So we've covered now the history. We're going to jump into the trailer and the big reveal that it had.
Oof.
Okay,
man.
Blake.
Man, oh, man.
The non-book reader right now,
mm-hmm.
Was that too much of a reveal for you?
And this is going to kind of get into my outlandish theory of the week, which, oddly enough, I'm going to have two this evening. But this gets into my outlandish theory of the week in that, listen, Ron Moore is a pretty smart dude, and I've said this 1,000 times, and I'm going to say it 1,000 times more. This man created Battlestar Galactica, and he's pretty smart, and he knows what he's doing, right? He's not going to tip his hand with that reveal unless it's important, right? I mean, unless it's not as important as we think that it is. And should I be upset about it? I am a little bit, because I would have liked to have the story tell me that Claire was going back and not a trailer, right? But mm-hmm. If this man is tipping his hand that quickly, then it can't be that important. It can't be the major reveal of the season. Right? Does that make sense?
Astute idea there, my friend. But yes,
You know what? I think we need a Battlestar Galactica. That's what we're going to do. We have a Battlestar Galactica sound clip.
Okay.
Because I'm going to mention it every episode, and it's going to be So Say We All. Boom! Nailed it.
All right. I'm going to rein you in. Holly, how effective do you think this trailer was?
Oh, wow. I remember. Well, I've seen two, right? I've seen the main one with the reveal in it, and then I've seen another one from Jamie's perspective. Mm-hmm. So, but the main one, you know, I found it really interesting that, you know, from that reveal, you could see that she was in the 40s, you know, no other time period, but in the 40s. And then it went back to France and then the time in Scotland. And I loved the battle scenes. Oh my gosh, that was amazing. I mean, really, I'm hoping that they just get through France and then hurry it up to Scotland. but no, I was really captivated by it. I can see why they're you know, putting the 40s in there, you know, to give some context to people. It does have more of a dramatic feel to it. You're trying to figure out what's going on, and wait a second, this isn't as linear as I thought it was going to be, this kind of story. So I think for people who are TV watchers, it gave a sense of dramatic appeal.
Mm. Right, I agree. Denise, what do you think? What did you think about the trailer?
I thought, going on what Holly said, though, it almost gave the TV-only viewers the same impact that we book readers had when we opened up DIA for the first time and said, what the hell is going on? Mm-hmm. Because I thought I missed a book or two. So I think it'll be interesting to see how that pans out. I'll be interested to see where we start the season, because we really don't know for sure if we haven't been cheating and looking. So are we going to start in France right away? That's what they keep saying. We go right to France, but are we? So did it reveal too much? I don't think so. I think it gave TV watchers only a little bit of a shock the way the rest of us got it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I go back and forth on it, because I will tell you that as a TV show only watcher, as you guys obviously know, and as the entire Outlander cast community knows, because I'm so famous, you know, listen, it sucked me in. I will totally agree. It sucked me in. I thought it was fantastic. It's a good hook, but I'm not sure if I want to know. Like, I think I wouldn't have been as excited, but I would have been excited for season two of Outlander if they just showed me the fact that they were in France. Like, holy crap, everything is changing. Like, if you guys have ever watched The Leftovers, and Denise and Kendra, I know that you have.
Yeah.
You know, you went from season one which was in New York. And then they had this total, complete change to season two by going to Texas and changing the setting, changing the characters, but still keeping the same overall story. That was effective. That was unbelievable. And they sold you on that. Kendra, do you think that Outlander could have sold you or the TV watchers only on having the setting change in France?
Yes, I think they very, very much could have done without having that kind of reveal in the trailer. Because we understand, and if you watch the first season and you know they're heading to France, they've decided to try and change the outcome of Culloden. And so, you know, I know what Ron Moore is trying to do here, and I get it and I understand it. And I think that in the way that I'm pretty sure, I'm like 90% sure that I'm right about how this episode's going to open, that they could have given, he could have given that big whammo reveal and blown everybody's minds who hadn't read the books, the way that readers get when they open the second book for the first time. Mm-hmm. The thing is, the people who are looking for it are the people who know what's going to happen. So we have no real perspective on how that feels as a non-book reader to kind of have that spoiled for us. Mm-hmm. No one told me when I was reading Outlander that, oh, by the way, when you pick up the first book, you're going to think you missed one. So, you know, we didn't have that experience of having that being kind of given away to us. And I think there's enough intrigue in Paris, and this is what I'm really looking forward to, the court intrigue. And I think that it would have been enough to hook viewers into season two. Because again, we are gonna have that world change, and it, like The Leftovers, that was brilliant. I mean, it was a perfect season of television. Mm-hmm. And you know, we didn't need any huge reveals. We just knew that so much is going to be changed. It's going to be like watching a new show. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I agree and disagree. You know, I agree that Ron Moore, I think, is definitely headed in the right direction as far as the actual show, but the trailer, I think, went a little bit too far.
Yep. Well, what are you guys looking forward to for season two?
Like everything.
No spoilers.
I want it all now.
Well, listen. Okay. Let's take, because we've been talking about season one. We have talked about season one. What do you think Outlander should, like, a good friend of mine, Brian Davids of the Film Shrubs podcast, he said something to me once that was very pertinent. He said, never judge a show by its first season, because it's still finding out who it is, what it is, and what they want to do. When you judge a show is season two, because if they're smart and they know what they're talking about, they're going to take everything that they did wrong in season one and do it better in season two. The Leftovers is a perfect example of this. And so is Battlestar Galactica, by the way. So, Holly, let's start with you, because you do screenwriting and you are the expert in this. Where do you think Outlander should improve itself from season one going into season two?
Well, my first thing is editing. I didn't really like the editing too much. I know Ron Moore, I'm so sorry. But you know, some of the sort of the juxtaposition between scenes, it just didn't sit right, and some of the effects actually were kind of like wonky to me. I didn't buy it. Like some of the view of I think it was Inverness, some of the views of the Standing Stones. You know, I'm really hoping that the second season, because
sorry about that, guys.
Sorry. Oh my god.
That was an interesting thing. Were we going space age?
I think we were slipping through the stones.
Aliens have come down. Sorry about that.
Am I in 1743 right now? Just
someone just touched the stones.
That would be so awesome.
Continue on. I apologize.
I'm just hoping that some of the, I mean, you've got a lot of amazing scenery coming up. And I think that will help anchor some of the show better. Also too, I think, they've already got such a core group of people working on Outlander. I mean, I think they've pretty much set their people. They're extremely experienced. So, the costumes I've heard, obviously from Terry and the Television Academy show is going to be amazing. I can't believe that she managed to pull this off with such a young, inexperienced crew, and it looks so fantastic. Like, I'm stunned at how, yeah, how good that looks. Also, the set designs that we've seen through Architectural Digest from John Gary Steele. Oh, that. Oh. Anyways, it's just stunning. I can't wait to see some of the scenery, right, for that too. So,
right, Denise, what do you think they should do to improve upon season two of Outlander? Like, what were the things that you think that season one lacked?
Maybe the same thing that Holly, kind of just the cohesiveness. Sometimes it just felt like things were real choppy when we'd move maybe from scene to scene, even episodes sometimes. They might have picked up where they left off, but it just didn't seem always so cohesive. And even, I mean, the biggest, I think, to me, the obvious difference was the first half of season one compared to the second half of season one. And we don't have that break this time, so hopefully we won't see that big of a difference. But it was a definite different feel between the two, and I don't think we should have felt that big of a change. So probably my biggest thing would be the cohesiveness of it all.
Right, I think I would agree with you, because they would have, like I said in the last live cast, they would have these amazing episodes like Garrison Commander or Devil's Mark, and then it would be followed up by, like, The Search, you know?
Oh, God.
Like, and listen, and like I said, I know that The Search is part of the book, and they got to adapt the book. But my God, what the hell were we doing with that episode? And the same thing with The Reckoning. I did not like that episode. And no. and the fact, I didn't.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I didn't. I'm sorry. I didn't. And it didn't feel like, the problem that it had is that it was the, season 1B, as I'm doing my little quotation marks here, it was the season 1B opening. You know, it was the premiere of season 1B. And it, to me, it did not feel like a premiere. It felt disjointed. It felt messed up. Mm-hmm. It had the wrong tone, in my opinion. I thought it was edited poorly. The pacing was weird. And I know that those are all general things, and if I can get nerdy about it if I really wanted to, but it would have The Reckoning. And then you have the pricking of my thumbs, which was like, eh, whatever. And then you had The Devil's Mark, which was amazing. And then you had The Search, and what are we doing? And I feel like Ron Moore knows better than that. And sometimes after watching BSG, it feels like sometimes he's held back by the source material. Kendra, what do you think about
that? Yes, I totally agree with you. And I think one of the things that Ron did right and wrong in the first season was in editing the book, editing what made it onto the show. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that you notice, season 1A had this fantastic flow. There was this great buildup. And then we came back for season 1B, and yeah, it was up and down. It was spotty. It became increasingly episodic, which is, an odd criticism for an episodic television show. But at the same time, there isn't that through line really, that overarching story point that pulls everything and everyone together and propels them through the show. And I think Ron Moore did a lot of good in choosing to edit some of that stuff. What I am afraid of the first, during the Paris section of season two, is there are those points in the book where, yes, there's going to be a lot of intrigue and there's going to be a lot of things that are very interesting. Everything is going to be a feast for the senses. But there are those sections in the book that you just want to skim because it's just monotony. And you understand that it's all building characters and it's all creating this world. But at the same time, it's not advancing the plot. And so that stuff needs to go. It's dead weight. And I can't remember who the author was, but there was an author talking to writers specifically and said, don't write the passages your reader wants to skim. And you'll recognize those because you won't be able to get through them without nodding off when you're editing them. So I think that's what we need to focus on in regards to season two, is they need to cut the fat, focus on plotting, because we've got these rich characters, we've developed them, and yes, there are things that they're going to be dealing with, and we need to see that, but as far as, a lot of the stuff that could be weighing us down, I think that needs to go by the wayside. And I think that Ron Moore, I trust Ron Moore. I think he's going to do a really good job of that.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I think too that the storyboarding, right? That's the process that they use early on, right? I think they're probably storyboarding shortly for the next season, assuming there is one. Mm-hmm. I think that when they're doing that process. For the first time, I think they wanted to stick so religiously to the book that they didn't realize that they could go off as much. And mm-hmm. I hope that's, tagging on what Kendra has to say, I'm hoping that's what they do for this upcoming season is, yeah, you're right, they get rid of the filler. Like, I don't want to see it. Honestly, I don't. I want to feel intrigue and drama every episode. Like, it's like high stakes and what's going to happen. And even though I know what's going to happen, I want to feel that. And, for some of the episodes last season, I didn't feel that. You're like, okay, yeah, I know why they're doing it. Because it was in the book. So here we go,
And I get, sometimes you have to have an episode for setup. Sometimes you have to have an episode to take a breather and step back and say, holy shit, what the hell just happened? Like taking a breather what was the episode after The Devil's Mark? What was that episode?
Lallybroch.
Okay. That episode, that was meant to take a step back and say, holy shit, Claire just told Jamie that she was from the future, but they furthered it a little bit with the Blackjack Randall stuff, with Jenny and Sam and the whole drunk elephant conversation and all of that stuff. It was good. It was fun. It was lighthearted. I get it, but we don't. And I keep harping on this, and I'm gonna keep harping on it because it sucks. The search. You don't need the search. I'm sorry. You don't. I don't need to see Murtaugh dancing.
Okay.
No.
Well now that
we had.
Tell me, what did that accomplish? Like, what actually happened that made that pertinent to what we were watching? If anybody can tell me, if anybody in Periscope or the writers or anybody in Mixlr or anybody on this entire freaking green planet, if they could tell me how that actually propelled Outlander and it didn't waste an hour of my life, then tell me and I will gladly admit that I'm wrong.
Okay, well, you know what? People are actually saying, we've got it, Blake. You hate the search. They want to move on. That's what they're telling you in the scope.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I've just had too much. I've had too much wine. That's it.
Okay, you know what? Let's shift gears because hate is gonna hate, and I think Blake is the hater that Taylor Swift sings about now.
Yes, I agree.
Let's talk about some of the strengths that this team has to rely upon. I'm gonna just start off with their actors. I mean, holy smokes! This is my Sam and Jamie and Claire. This is Jamie and Claire to me. Frank. God, what they've done with Frank has been freaking amazing, and I'm already so excited to see what they do in season two. So I'm really excited about this. I'm excited to meet the new characters because I have complete faith in whoever the casting directors have been because they've done a phenomenal job. So that's my two cents about the strengths that they have.
You brought up Frank and something that we had the pleasure of going to the Emmy event from Scotland to Paris. And one of the things that Ron Moore had mentioned was that Frank is different this from the book Frank, obviously, in many ways. But one of the ways is that he is aware of the stones and the stories that come from the stones, and that people actually do, in fact, go back or you know, go back in time or come forward in time or whatever. That is a really interesting thing. And that's what makes Frank a little bit different and a little bit more special. And that character is a lot more informed and a lot more layered as it relates to the overall story. Denise, what do you think about Frank and being a little bit more involved in the story? And do you think he is something that Outlander should rely on going forward?
Did you have to ask me about Frank, honestly?
you can cede the floor if you'd like.
Honestly. Okay. I'm hopeful that the TV show Frank shows us a lot more than what book Frank did. And I know I hate to keep going back to the book, but, you know, it's a fact. But I'm hoping that they give us more substance to him and more something of us to like. And maybe we will. I hope so, but we'll see.
Yeah, Holly, what do you think?
Oh, yeah. I really didn't get much from the books at all, really, in terms of how I felt about Frank. However, you know, just the expressiveness of Tobias Menzies as he's playing Frank, I think that's what's won me over to Frank's side, but just won me over in terms of understanding Frank, or whatever my perception of Frank is, for sure. So I'm really hoping that they explore that further, because, you know, that's what makes this story great. It's not just a Jamie and Claire love story. It is that, you know, I mean, it's a triangle. It's, you know, not a perfect triangle, but you know, his role in it is critical to us understanding both Claire and Jamie.
Yep. And Kendra, what do you think that Frank is a strength that they can rely on going forward? And what other strengths do you think Outlander should rely on going forward?
Yes, I definitely think that Frank is a strength. You'd mentioned Ron Moore changing things and giving Frank that knowledge of the stones. And one of the things that I noticed, now I read the books for the first three books for the first time 15 years ago. I was 22 and I hadn't been married. And so I kind of, you know, dismissed Frank. And then when I read them again, after, you know, having been married, being a mom, Frank resonated a lot more with me the second time I read them. The more time that had passed, the more maturity that I had gained, the more I felt for Frank. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, as a writer myself, you know, I have the itch to know Frank's whole story, because he has his own tragedy, his own personal dramatic arc that we don't get to see. He deals with loss and betrayal and anger and questioning. And one of the things that I found interesting was that the way Frank is treated in the books, he doesn't seem all too great of a historian, because he would have known about the stones. I mean, he would have known local folklore and all of these stories throughout history. So it's only natural that he would know about it. The other strengths that the show has are the creative team. I was completely blown away by the panel, the Emmy panel that you guys were fortunate enough to attend. The detail and the passion that everybody had. I mean, I was on the edge of my seat. My husband, who I finally roped into watching the show and who loves it now, watched it. I was about halfway through, and he watched it after it had aired and was up on YouTube. He's like, I have to watch this. And he was so into it. He was like, I haven't watched anything, you know, this great in regards to acting and film and things like that in a long time. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a major, major strength. I've never seen a show as beautiful, as detailed. Even putting it up against Game of Thrones, after watching Outlander, where it's ultra real. Mm-hmm. All of the details, there are no, I don't see any jagged edges in regards to the details. And then you look at some of the CGI stuff on Game of Thrones, and it kind of, you see those edges, you see the effects, where on Outlander, you know, I'm going to disagree in regards to Holly, I know you have more of an eye for that. I don't see that at all. I just see, you know, just an absolute cinematic experience when I watch Outlander, and I think that is one of the major strengths.
Right. So I have one last question for you guys before we get into all the listener questions that have come up either on Periscope or Mixlr. And if you have any more questions on Mixlr or Periscope, please keep sending them in. Keep asking us. We are actually writing them down in our Google Doc. You are not forgotten. I promise we will get to them. But guys, and I'm going to go one by one, or you can at least perk up whenever you feel like it. Actually, let's do that. You can perk up whenever you feel like it. Out of all the shows that have come out within the past 5 years or so, whether it's Hannibal or The Leftovers or Outlander or Game of Thrones or whatever, where would you put Outlander? Kendra, why don't we start with you? Where would you put Outlander?
Oh, in terms of my top shows, people aren't going to be happy with me. It's maybe top 10.
Yep.
But it's definitely not top 5. And I really enjoy it, mm-hmm. but... this is a unique show for me to watch because this is typically not my thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a Breaking Bad fan. I'm an X-Files fan. Star Trek. You know, I'm an ultra nerd. And so this I got into because I had a history with the story. Mm-hmm. And I love Claire. I love Claire. And that keeps me... hooked into the series and to the story, right. Because I like how it feels to see the world through her eyes because she is such a strong character.
Sure.
But as far as just the craft of the show and the storytelling and the strength of all the individual characters, now the acting is absolutely top notch. But as far as, you know, certain other details, I think it's maybe, you know, 6 or 7 on my list.
Holly, how about you? What do you got?
You know, it's interesting. My experience with Outlander, you know, I watched the show before I read the books. And I only started watching the show like last, I'm going to say April, I guess it was. And I went in search of finding a show where I could learn more about a female protagonist, because I was at the time writing a pilot for a female protagonist, and I wanted to watch a show like that. So I'd heard that there was a show, you know, with whatever. So I checked it out, and wow, I'm within half the show. I was hooked on it, and I had no intention of watching it. Like none. I was just going to use it for my story, like I said.
Yep.
So, you know, to me, that strong female character was completely what drew me in. Honestly, the bonus was Jamie.
Right.
Like the bonus was Jamie. But once I discovered that love story between them, to me, that is the anchor of that entire show. That is the reason I watch, and I am so inspired. My writing has taken a completely different turn ever since I've been watching Outlander in terms of dramatic romance. And you know, it's the female-driven sex. You know, the fact that it is for the focus is on female pleasure. It's incredible. I think right. that, you know, the story is so avant-garde in that way.
Where would you place it in your top 5?
I would certainly put it in my top 5.
Good. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. Denise, how about you? Where would you place it?
Okay, so I am actually coming again from the fan base part of it. I don't have that nerdiness that you watch all those TV shows. This is just something I saw on Stars, believe it or not, advertised before it came on, yep. and thought, oh, that looks pretty interesting. It's a nurse. I'm a nurse. I'll see what it's about, and started watching it. I don't really have any other TV shows that I've gotten so involved with, except The Leftovers now, thank you very much. And it's just become a whole different world for me to watch, and, mm-hmm. and seeing all of the scenes and traveling to Scotland. I mean, how many people now want to go to Scotland? So to compare it to other series, I really couldn't tell you because I don't get into series like this. And if I do, I watch it for a little while, or I might catch it in season 2 or 3, and then I go back and watch. So for me to be catching it from the very beginning, so I did watch it from the first episode. By about episode 2 or 3 was when I started reading the books.
Yep.
So I wasn't a book reader first either. A friend of mine had told me about them years ago, and I was like, I'll get to them maybe, and never did. But let me add one more thing before we go. Bear McCreary, we didn't talk about him at all. And, I mean, as far as the strengths that they have, I mean, come on, you can't compare. He's fantastic. So I just like even the music with the listening to the soundtrack. So.
So are you gonna place it in your top
okay,
five?
I'm gonna give it a 1 because I don't have anything else to compare it to, really.
Well, listen, to get you all back, all the listeners on Periscope and on Mixlr, we actually have to save some of your listener feedback questions, and I apologize for that because we got carried away, and we only have about 3 minutes left. So I have to get to my outlandish theory of the week, and let's do it. So, my outlandish theory of the week, this so far for this episode, it's actually brought to you by the OC Girl Creations Etsy shop. Please check out all of the Outlander style pins, buttons, and decals at OC Girl Creations. That is O, literally O, the letter O, the letter C, Girl Creations on Etsy. And guys, are you ready for my outlandish theory of the week?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Totally.
Listen, the show is going to open up with Claire in the future. Somehow, some way, like she's going to wake up in front of the stones, or she's going to wake up in the hospital, or whatever. The show is literally going to open up with Claire in the 40s. And that is why Ron Moore tipped his hand. And that is why you saw that in the trailer. And that is why I'm a freaking genius and I am awesome. And that is that. And it is going to open up with Claire in the future. My love, and everybody else, are you guys ready to close out this Oscar-winning, Tony-nominated, Marconi-nominated, award-winning show?
What about BAFTA?
BAFTA, too. I think we're in the running for BAFTA. So are you guys ready to close out this show?
Yes.
All right, let's do it. Hold on, because I'm bringing up my sound, and this is important because I promised it. I promised it last live cast, and it's going to happen. And my computer is taking forever to load.
I can sing it.
Oh, my God. Come on now, computer.
I'll do it. Because we have 1 minute left, Blake.
I know. Give me a minute. Okay, fine.
The final countdown. Da, 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 da.
Awesome. Da, 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 da.
God, I am so disappointed with this computer not working.
It's fine. It's fine. Because you know what?
Oh, hold on.
There it is. Hell yeah.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, baby. Okay, guys, it's the final countdown to the Outlander Season 2 premiere. We wanted to remind you that this episode was brought to you by the Stone by Allison Etsy shop. Stone by Allison is the place to go for necklaces, bracelets, and bookmarks for geeks, nerds, and everyone else. Pair your favorite Outlander book with Dinafash Sassanach bookmark, or show your love for your own favorite fandom with a custom-made piece just for you. All pieces are handmade by Allison and include fine art necklaces, jewelry with quotes from Doctor Who, Harry Potter, and Game of Thrones, among many others. Enter the coupon code OutlanderCast to receive 10% off your next order. Visit stonesbyallison.etsy.com now to find your favorite accessories. And be sure to stick around the Outlander Cast blog for Ashley's live blog of the premiere. And then come right back here the episode airs for our instant take episode featuring Kendra. She's going to be back on. Ashley, who's doing the live blogging, and Anne. All right, guys, we are going to be online tweeting. Find us on Facebook, all of our Instagram, all of that. It is Outlander.
@OutlanderCast. You can also email us if you have any questions. And if it's a spoiler, just write in it for Mary's Eyes Only. That is OutlanderCast@gmail.com. Head on over to OutlanderCast.com for all of our latest episodes. But as I said, the blog is where you need to be for the live blogging. We're going to catch you guys on here and just...
Hold on. Wait. Here it is.